Hello, and welcome back to the Modern Creative Podcast, where I chat all about creative entrepreneurship and how to grow your calligraphy business. So if you're looking for tips on how to scale your business, or maybe how to balance your day job and your calligraphy side hustle, then you are in the right place. And in this episode, I am chatting all about how to become a full-time calligrapher and things that you should consider. Back in 2017, I transitioned from being a side hustling calligrapher who offered workshops and did random custom jobs and had an Etsy shop to being a course creator and really focusing on workshops and going full-time in my business. And in 2020, I actually went back. So I went from side hustler to full-time calligrapher to now side hustling calligrapher again. And in episode 105, I actually talk about that transition from going from being full-time self-employed for about 3 years to then transitioning back into the workforce. So in case you wanted to listen to that's episode 105, but I still wanted to talk about this because I do have experience being self-employed and a full-time calligrapher for a few years. So we're going to talk about things that you need to consider, how to prep, maybe if this is the year that you definitely want to go all in and be full-time calligrapher, and what I would do differently if I was going through that again. Now, before jumping in, I did want to mention that I do have a free business class for you in the show notes, or you can head to calligraphybizclass.com and save your seat and definitely watch after you listen to this episode. But it is all about earning more revenue in your calligraphy business without having a large audience or being salesy. So definitely check that out at calligraphybizclass.com. So before jumping into things that you need to consider, I do want to mention that being a full-time calligrapher is not like the benchmark of success. And neither is earning six figures, neither is earning 100,000, 200,000, like whatever it is. You get to define what success means for you in your calligraphy business. And maybe that isn't going full-time, or maybe that is reaching a certain revenue goal that helps you with household expenses versus trying to make $7 million in a year. If $7 million a year is your goal, that's great. And if your goal is to pay for all of the pens and a little bit extra, like that's great too. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. I know that when I went full-time in 2017, I don't know really where it came from, probably came from social media now that I think about it, but it seemed as if the only way that I could be successful was if I quit my job and I was a calligrapher full-time. And going through that whole cycle, I can tell you that is definitely not the case. And just remember that you get to define what your successful business looks like. Okay. So it doesn't have to be full-time calligraphy. With that said, because of this whole cycle that I went through from side hustler to self-employed and full-time calligrapher to side hustler again, I have experience on both sides of the coin. And so there's nothing wrong with being full-time either. And that's probably why you're listening to this, because you're interested in what that all entails. So the very first thing that you really need to consider when you want to become a full-time calligrapher is how much you need to make. And this is really key. And remember, I'm speaking from my experience here and like things I didn't, you know, pay attention to or wish I did. But if you're in the US in particular, you need to pay for your own health insurance. Typically, well, at least in my experience, it's always been paid for by my employer. And now I was my own employer. So health insurance in the US is a big cost, frankly, just for myself at the time that I was self-employed from 2017 to 2020, I was paying over $600 a month in California. And that sucked. It's actually quite a big bill. Besides rent, that was like my next largest bill, having to get health insurance. And in the US, like you legally need health insurance or there are tax implications. So definitely do your research on how much that's going to cost if you are in the US. And that's going to be like at least your baseline of what you need to make. So whatever your bills are now, plus the fact that you're going to be paying for your own health insurance, like 100% of it, and there's no employer. So that was a shock to me. And I didn't do my research. Obviously, I knew how much I wanted to make and what my goals are and what I thought was attainable based on my data and previous sales. But I think I just didn't pay attention to the insurance. And all of a sudden, I was self-employed and realizing, oh, now I also have this extra bill. And so that's another few sales I had to make that month and every month going forward just to cover that. So with that said, with figuring out how much you need to make and potentially adding a buffer there, 10, 20%, make sure that your pricing and your offers can support you in reaching those revenue goals that you have. So taking a look at where you're at now, do you need to increase your prices? Do you need to give yourself more of a runway time? Maybe you thought you were going to quit in August and now you're like, okay, maybe I'm going to push that back to December just to have a little bit more of a cushion. Are there other changes that you maybe need to make in your business offers? So let's say that you are a one-to-one business, a calligrapher who works with clients and customers on custom work, very like high-end and luxury, and you can charge a lot, but it is one-to-one and all of your time is dedicated to it. Do you need to figure out how to have an offer where you are going from one-to-one to one-to-many, and then you're able to bring in revenue from many people and maybe spend less time? Is that through different courses, something that's recorded? Is that a digital product? So just really start with the number that you need. I would also give a little bit of a padding there and then figure out if your pricing and your current offers can support you in reaching those goals. And then if not, increase pricing, maybe giving yourself more time until you do quit and maybe making some changes in your offer so that you can have something that doesn't require you to work one-on-one with someone. You can still continue that, but does that mean having other streams of revenue that maybe run in the background or something? So definitely figure that out because it's going to be a roller coaster. And you already know that if you're considering being a full-time calligrapher, that means that you're a side hustling calligrapher right now. So think about the time before you even started your business to where you're at now, right? That has likely been a roller coaster of, you know, being scrappy, figuring things out, DIYing things, and also being really proud of yourself that you've gotten here and you've gotten this far. It's going to continue to be a roller coaster. It's not like you quit and now everything is just calligraphy all day. If anything, you're going to be doing less calligraphy, honestly, when you go full time. So definitely consider your support system. That is my point there. So a support system is 100% needed, but it also doesn't have to be in the form of real life friends and family. Maybe your support system comes from the calligraphy and creative community because sometimes our family and friends, they don't understand what we're doing and they don't understand why you'd want to leave, air quotes here, I'm using air quotes, a stable job. And so they may not be the most supportive in the beginning, and that's fine. And those relationships hopefully will work themselves out. But as you're going through this period, this transition period of becoming a full-time calligrapher, just make sure that you have your support system. Maybe it's your calligraphy biz bestie. So moving on to how to prep to become a full-time calligrapher. Let's say your pricing's great, you have savings, you're ready. Here are some tips on how you can prep for that. So I actually did a very un-Virgo thing when I quit my job in 2017. And it was because I wasn't fully prepared. I was gambling on a launch. I just had a good feeling of the launch of my course at the time, Watercolor Bootcamp, that it was going to be a success. And to me, that meant that it was going to be on its way to replacing my day job salary. I'm in California. It is extremely expensive. I work in the tech space. I've always worked in the tech space. That's what I do now. And that's what I did before. And so it was my like good, better, best goal. Like my best goal for that course and that launch was for it to pay me like my salary. But I didn't know it at the time because I was still going through pre-sales. I hadn't even had my pre-sale yet. So it was a gamble. So I suggest you not do that and instead prep by doing the following things. Make sure that your business is bringing in revenue. Make sure that your business is bringing in ideally predictable revenue. So that means that you have been goal setting and you have been able to predict your numbers, get close to them. Maybe you know that if you send an email, a sales email to your email list, you know how many people are going to convert and they're going to purchase. So that way you have your conversion rate and you can really predict, you know, how much revenue you can make from an email. If you're going to be like the best A-plus student, unlike Joyce, and really prep to be full-time. Make sure that you are bringing in ideally predictable revenue, because that way you can just plan out the next few months and actually probably make a little bit more because you're going to have more time dedicated to the business. Definitely have that if you can. And if you haven't already, make sure that you separate your personal and your business finances. This is like something that you should have done in the very beginning. It's okay if you didn't, but you can do that now. So if it has been a little bit muddy before, maybe using a personal card on business stuff, or maybe your bank accounts are not separate, definitely start doing that as soon as possible when you start your business, regardless if that's full-time or side hustle. But if you haven't yet, this is the time to definitely start. And also make sure that you have a detailed sales and marketing plan. This is something that I go over with my calligraphy business school students, but you want to make sure that you just don't have these vague goals of, oh, I'm going to offer wedding services. Okay. But like, how many do you need to support your revenue goals? How are you going to get those people, those leads? What are your monthly actions going to be in order to grow your audience and also nurture your existing audience? So all of these little things, these little details, when it comes to sales and marketing, because those are two different things, try and plan that out. Try and plan that out also with very clear action steps for you to take each, you know, day and week even. So just full on plan if you can. Also, another way that you can prep, and I don't think that a lot of people talk about, is actually a bridge job. So a bridge job is maybe a part-time job that you have. If you were like full-time in a career like I was, and you're going to quit and you're going to be a full-time calligrapher, there's no shame. There's nothing wrong with taking a less demanding part-time job. And you can call that your bridge job. And maybe that bridge job is what, you know, pays for your car payment or pays for your rent. And it just gives you honestly more of a buffer as you ramp up your full-time calligraphy business. So I had a bridge job for, I'm not sure anymore because I don't even remember what I ate for breakfast, but I definitely had a bridge job for a few months. After I quit my full-time tech job, I was actually a manager at a bar studio in San Francisco, like a fitness studio in San Francisco. And I got that job because while I was working full-time in tech and hating it back in 2015 and earlier, that's when I learned calligraphy. I needed a creative outlet instead of just working with customers and clients all day and all these accounts. I learned calligraphy. And the other thing I did was start to take bar classes and then work like 2 days a week at the bar studio. It's like a part-time fun job. So when I told the owner of that bar studio that I was going to quit my tech job, it just so happened she needed someone to manage the studio, a new manager. And so that worked out well for me because it was no more than 20 hours a week. It was probably like 18 hours. And in between any of the bar classes, I would be working on my business. I even filmed very early YouTube videos that were about calligraphy and how to do calligraphy at that studio. It's so funny. If you look at my old YouTube videos, I'm probably shooting that at a bar studio in the reception area, but the owner knew that and she was cool. But there's no shame in that, is my whole point to a bridge job. Not a lot of people talk about it, but like, why not? Like, work at a coffee shop, whatever it is that you want to do. Because if you are feeling super anxious about going from like a salaried employee to all of a sudden having to have your calligraphy business float your life and pay for your life, then to ease that anxiety, consider a bridge job. And the other thing that I want you to do if you are prepping to be a full-time calligrapher is to take yourself seriously. And what I mean by that is to really own that you are the CEO. Like, you're an owner of a business. You are a CEO. I don't know what you want to call yourself, but really own that. And if that means you are at the checkout line in Target, and instead of saying, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse, like whatever your day job is, when someone asks you what you do, you say, I own a small business, or I'm a calligrapher. Like, practice saying that when someone asks you what you do, if that feels uncomfortable for you to call yourself an owner of a small business or a creative business. But you definitely need to take yourself seriously and step into that role and really own that you are this person. So last thing I wanted to talk about was what I would do differently if this was my first time going full-time. I personally don't know if I'm going to be an entrepreneur again, like a full-time entrepreneur again. I'm very happy at my current job and I had the ability and I was really lucky to be really picky when I went back into the workforce full-time in terms of the company and the role and whatnot. I don't know, but we never know what's going to happen. But I'm never going to get a first chance to go full-time in my creative business. So if I could do it differently, I would definitely save more beforehand. So it is scary to have fluctuating months. I can have fluctuating months now. That's fine. I have a salary from a tech company. Like, it's great. But when I didn't have that salary anymore, seeing the numbers go like this until you could figure out how to stabilize it or how to see more of an upward trend, it can be scary. And so I wish I had more of a savings buffer at the time, to be completely transparent. Definitely research all your costs, especially costs that your work is currently paying for, your full-time job is paying for. So I talked about health insurance, right? That's one thing. But maybe you also want to consider, this is so adulting, by the way, but maybe you also want to consider your savings goals and your retirement goals. So if your current company is matching a certain percent, like you're not going to get that anymore. So that might change your retirement planning and outlook. It's also going to require you to look into, you don't have a 401k anymore through work, but now you have to get a different type of retirement savings account because you're self-employed. So you're also going to have to look into that, and whatever contributions you want to make to these new retirement accounts, you're going to have to earn through your business. So that's another thing to actually consider and something that I would do differently. I would research those costs because maybe it's because I'm older now too, but I didn't even think about that. Like I lost matching, 401k matching. I didn't even consider the retirement contributions when I quit my job. And it's something like dawned on me later. Oh, I haven't been saving for retirement because it's just been my business and whatnot. So definitely consider that if you are a personal finance person and love saving for retirement, like I do. And also try to reduce your expenses before quitting. That might be a given, but really take a look at what you spend. And if you need to be spending it on a personal level, I use a budgeting app called YNAB. You need a budget. So YNAB is the acronym. That's something that I've just personally been using for years now. But if you're not someone who does keep a budget or you're not quite sure what you're spending, start tracking that. Start tracking it and really see what can you cut out now. And it may not be forever, but maybe it is for the first few months of your business as you are getting the hang of things, as you are figuring out if you do want a bridge job. And then you can always add those things back in later. But those are some things I would do differently because I did not reduce the expenses. I did not think about all of the expenses and I did not save as much. And you know what? If you quit Joyce style, because I just quit. I couldn't stand this dude bro, what I say dude bro, Palo Alto tech culture that I was in at the time. It's okay too. You're never going to be fully ready, even if you do all these things in prep, at least emotionally. And so there's also no shame if you have none of these things and you quit anyway, because sometimes it is just about your happiness and mental health. But if you can prep, please do. So I would love to hear about your journey. Where are you at in your journey? Is this the year that you are going to become a full-time calligrapher? And how are you prepping for that? You can find me over at joycechristine.co on Instagram or at Modern Creative Podcast, also on Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, and I will catch you in the next episode.